Welcome to Believing Together Daily Podcast, a ministry of the Kerwin Baptist Church in Kernersville, North Carolina. Our prayer is that through these daily devotions, we can believe together, even when we can't be together. Please join us for a brief devotion Monday through Friday as we strive to continue daily with one accord, as the first church did in Acts chapter 2. Now, here is our pastor, Daniel Hawtrey, with our devotion today.
Good morning, and once again, thank you for your time to spend together here on Believing Together. We're going, obviously, through Romans chapter 20, and we come, Romans chapter 12, excuse me, and we come to verse 20. And it's a little bit of a continuation from verse 19. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, verse 19, we talked about yesterday, talked about God said, vengeance is mine. Don't look for vengeance for yourselves. God said, vengeance is mine. And now he says, therefore. So because God said, let me worry about vengeance, he says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. So Paul now adds to the difficulty of the previous verse. There he wrote that Christians have to stop this whole thing of seeking revenge against people who have harmed you. And why is that? Because as God's children, that's our Father's job. Our Father will take care of that for us. God will take care of it. He's better at it than we are. So instead of seeking petty revenge on our terms, real justice God will take care of in the situation. Now, one reasonable way to interpret Paul's command would be as an instruction to avoid and ignore those who harm us. If we can't get even, at least we can stay away from them. But in this verse, Paul now reveals that that is not the path that we're to follow. So we are to make sure that we don't seek revenge, but instead, he says, we're called to be active, we're called to be positive, we're called to engage those who have done us wrong. Now, to me, it's a big step to be able to say, all right, these people have done me wrong, but I'm not going to go after revenge with them, but at least I'm going to stay away from them. God says, no, go even further than that. Not only should you not get revenge, but don't stay away from them either. In a sense, he says that you should do good to them. We ought to seek help fill their needs and to do good to them. Now, you know, understand this is not meant to be taken as a command to stay in a situation where someone is actively, physically, or mentally abusing us or harming us. Retreating from violence or avoiding an abuser that's not being discouraged here at all. You know, if we can take steps to avoid future injury, that's the right and wise thing to do. God is not commanding us to welcome any kind of abuse into our lives. So please don't anyone listening think that, but even though we're not being commanded to embrace abuse, this is still a difficult teaching. You know, Solomon in Proverbs 25, 21 through 22, Paul references that. Paul's description of how to respond to evildoers is almost infuriating at first. I mean, at the same time, there is a certain ruthlessness about it, spiritually speaking. I mean, this is hard to do. This takes guts. This takes strength. We're called to bring down fiery conviction on our enemies by relentlessly being kind to them after they have been horrible to us. You know, the Bible says as we do, two things will happen. One, we reflect God's own mercy to us who were once his enemies. Second, we show both that we do not deserve to be treated poorly and that we're stronger than those who are doing it. You know, by doing good to those who have hurt you, it shows first that they were wrong to do wrong to you in the first place. You know, if we just come back at them with vengeance, it maybe says that maybe they had a point. Maybe they had good reason to treat us that way, but when we treat them with kindness and it kind of makes them look wrong, for having done the wrong in the first place. Kind of an interesting way to look at that. The description of heaping burning coals. This is that reference to Proverbs 25. You know, in Egypt, there had been a custom to carry a pan of burning coals on one's head as a sign of repentance. Kindness and forgiveness to those who have done us wrong will make them feel ashamed of themselves and hopefully bring them to repent. The strongest, most powerful response to persecution and hatred is to show love in return. Paul says it's like heaping coals of fire on their head. Paul says that it embarrasses them, that it will convict them, that hopefully it will change them. And it might not. But Paul said in so doing, that's the greatest opportunity for that you will have. So in verse 19, it's a step of faith and action that we don't seek vengeance. But in verse 20, it's a step of spiritual maturity that we strive to show kindness to those who have done us so desperately wrong. Now, I'm not saying I figured it out. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. But that doesn't change what the Bible has to say. Whether we struggle with it or not, the truth is still the truth. The Bible is still the Bible. Those who choose to do good to their enemies create the opportunity that Paul describes in the following verse. And we're going to talk about that next time here on Believing Together. Thanks for joining me today.
We are thankful that you joined us for this podcast today. We encourage you to subscribe to the Believing Together Daily Podcast. And please feel free to contact us through our church website, kerwinbaptistchurch.com, if we could be of further assistance. May God richly bless you today.